Second Peter. Now, Second Peter is, like First Peter, an interesting little book. It's only 3 chapters long, but there is a lot within this that will, of course, speak to us, especially concerning our own spiritual lives. Second Peter. Now, of course, this is a second letter. First Peter was his first one. There is some uniqueness to Second Peter that is different than First Peter. And we'll bring some of those things out here in a little bit. But first, let's look at the theme. If you want to write that down, the theme of Second Peter is faithful truth versus false teachers. Faithful truth versus false teachers. It's so interesting when you think about what is stated there in regards to false teachers. The early church initially began to experience persecution where people were trying to hurt them, trying to destroy life, trying to imprison Christians just because they were Christians. They weren't doing anything wrong. But because they believed in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, some of them being Jewish, leaving their Jewish roots of Judaism, were being persecuted. Some thrown into prison, as I said before. Some were put to death for their faith, suffering martyrdom. During this time, as we will see in 2 Peter, there was also another attack. Satan was attacking the church, first of all, through persecution, causing some to even fear being a Christian. That's why whenever in the early church someone said yes to Jesus, they knew that their decision meant life or death. They knew if I choose to serve Jesus, I could potentially die for my faith. And it was for real for them. And believe it or not, we should also have that same mentality now. That we, as Christians, will live for Christ despite the fact that it's not always the popular thing to do. Right now, here in America, we can serve Christ okay. Amen? We meet on Sundays without any worry of persecution, thank God. But that's not to say in the future, you know, God forbid something happen, that one day it's wrong for you to try to worship on a Sunday morning somewhere. Either way, we're going to worship God. Amen? We've chosen to follow Jesus, and we've put our hand to the plow. We're not looking back. Amen. And so Satan was attacking the church through persecution, and it would continue for quite a while. But another attack was now making its inroads, or making advancement to the church, and that was false teaching. False teaching is also an attack of the enemy. It's out there even now. Sometimes there are some that are very popular, but they're spewing out false teaching. And how will we know the difference between the true and the false? Well, you and I have got to know the truth. Amen? The Word of God. And so Peter here begins to deal with an issue that is very important for us to consider. And again, it's described as faithful truth versus false teachers. Now, let me put this in there. The theme, as I said before, faithful truth versus false teachers, the date of writing is somewhere between AD 66 through AD 68. Now, the reason why it's believed to be at that particular time was because the Apostle Peter would eventually suffer his death. He would die as a martyr. It's believed by most scholars as well as church tradition that Peter died a martyr's death there in Rome. And they say that he died under the Emperor Nero, who was at that time trying to destroy all the Christians that were then in Rome. Those that know history a little bit, remember that Nero actually set Rome on fire, they say, and I think it was 12 different spots in different areas, and he wanted to rebuild and re-beautify Rome. But what he did was he blamed the fire that he himself caused on Christians, And so what he did was he tried to destroy Christians, in many ways burning them by fire. Peter was one of the leaders of the church, along with Paul, and it's believed that he summoned some of the leaders there to Rome and eventually would kill some of them, Peter being one of them. And we talked about it the last time in 1 Peter. There was a tradition known as the Quo Vadis tradition of the early church. That's Latin for, where are you going? And they say that Peter was on his way leaving Rome as his friends were saying, get out of here, they're going to kill you. And as he was on his way out, Peter supposedly saw a vision, and in the vision he saw Jesus entering into Rome. And Peter said to Jesus, where are you going? And Jesus responded and said, I'm going back, or going into Rome to be crucified again. And that vision helped Peter to understand that it was his time to be martyred for the glory of God. And so Peter would turn back, he'd go back into Rome, was apprehended, and then he was crucified upside down on a cross. And the reason why upside down was because Peter said, I don't want to die in the same way that my Lord did. And so he died on a cross. Now, the date of writing was somewhere before AD 70, at which time Rome would eventually destroy Jerusalem as well. Now, in your notes, it's not up here. Since Peter, like Paul, was put to death by the edict of Nero, it is likely that he wrote this epistle between this time, shortly before his martyrdom in Rome. Shortly before he was put to death. Martyrdom. Martyrdom is spelled M-A-R-T-Y-R-D-O-M. Martyrdom. And so it was as if he was... he wrote this prior to his death. And it's interesting when you read 2 Peter that he actually says to the people that God had shown him that he was about to die. It's very interesting. You know, God can speak to people. Amen? And he had told Peter, you know what, Peter? It's time. Your time's coming up. And what did Peter do? Go run away and hide? No, he said, well, I'm going to put my people in remembrance here. I'm going to write a letter to them. Amen? I'm ready to go. But let me encourage them before I leave. Amen? That's what Peter was doing here. And so it was right before his martyrdom. Number two in the notes. In the salutation, he identifies himself as the author. So who is the author? Simon Peter himself. But in the notes, you want to put himself in there, the first line. In the salutation, he identifies himself as the author of this letter. And later on in this letter, he says that this is his second epistle to the readers. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, so we can see how he mentions that this was a second one. So in other words, there was a prior letter, which we just went through, 1 Peter. But 2 Peter 3, verse 1 says this, as this is now, beloved, the second epistle. That word epistle means letter. It's the second epistle I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere minds by way of a reminder. You know, that's a godly man that will go and remind people of things. Amen? And that's what he's doing. He's putting them into remembrance. And so it's a second epistle after his first one, which he tells that he wrote to the same people there in Asia Minor who had received that first letter. Okay? There's Peter there. I showed you these pictures before, but just for the sake of a picture, there's an artist's rendering of Peter. You think he looked like that? I don't know, right? I don't know. Look, there's a key in his hand, remember? His confession of faith. And there's, his, of course, Peter in the water after he began to sink, after walking in the water for a little bit. He had walked on the water and then began to sink because he saw the waves. Anyways, let's go into the background, be in your notes. The background. Some scholars in ancient and as well as some modern times, ignoring the similarities of 1 and 2 Peter and stressing the differences between them, have assumed that Peter did not write this epistle. Okay? There are some in Christendom, even now, that will say Peter didn't write this epistle. Now, is that true or false? Well, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says he wrote another one, right? And he also identifies himself as the author. But let's look at some things that were different about this letter that makes some think he didn't write it, okay? There's some things that will make it seem like he didn't, but I, like many others, believe that he did. The differences between the two letters, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, in content, vocabulary, emphasis, and literary style, can be accounted for by the different circumstances of both Peter and his writer, and his readers, I should say. The circumstances, as I said earlier, were a little bit different. Those in 1 Peter were experiencing persecution, weren't they? And Peter told them, hang in there, you're going to be okay. Some of what you're going through is going to bring glory to God. But now in 2 Peter, some of the circumstances are different, and these are some of the differences. Number one, the original circumstances had changed, listen to this, from serious persecution inflicted by the surrounding society. In other words, the church was being the church, but now at that time they were being persecuted from the outside, right? Unbelievers, those that didn't believe in what they were doing, were persecuting the Christians. And that's what Peter was dealing with in 1 Peter. Now, though, it had changed to serious assault from within by false teachers. Listen to this. If the enemy can't destroy from without, because the church is going forward, we're walking together, we are united. Amen. And as we walk together in unity, that devil doesn't have us from the outside. You know what he's going to try to do? He's going to try to put some venom in from within. And he'll try to get someone or some persons get big-headed and they start thinking they're all that. They think that they're better than the pastor. They think they're more spiritual than the pastor, and they begin to say things that are wrong. The Bible calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. Wolves. And those wolves will not spare the flock. But sometimes these wolves come out from among us, the scripture says. They come from within. And what Peter is dealing with is this issue from this leaving from the persecution without was now an assault from within by false teachers who are now beginning to invade the church. As God moves, I don't care where it is, wherever God is moving, if it's here in Center Assembly of God or any other church in the valley or throughout the world, the enemy, like I said before, isn't going to sit idly by and just clap for us as we move in the Lord. He's going to try to destroy the work of God. He's going to try to stop it. And he will try persecution. He'll try to cause things to happen on the outside. If that doesn't work, he'll try to come within. Okay? And that's what's happening in 2 Peter. So the circumstances are different. Number two, another thing is different between 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and it is this. Peter's own circumstances were different. Now, in his first epistle, he had Silas's help in writing 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. It says this. It says, with the help of Silas, whom I consider to be a faithful brother to you, I have written briefly. In other words, 1 Peter was written by Silas's hand, but it was by the voice of Peter. Peter told Silas what to write. Okay? And so Silas wrote it with some nice, good Greek grammar. Right? He penned it down real nice so that when the churches got a hold of his letter, it was real good Greek for those people in the church to understand. And so in 1 Peter, Silas was the pen, the one that held the pen. But in 2 Peter, Silas was not available when writing this letter. And so the handwriting was different, right? Probably the degree of Greek knowledge may have been different. Maybe the grammar was different. Instead of having Silas writing this letter, guess who wrote this one? Peter himself. And he was unlearned, remember that? We find out from the Gospels, he was a fisherman. He earned his wages by fishing. He didn't go to school. And, you know, it's like back in the day when people would only go to sixth grade. How many remember that? And our fathers would go to work in the fields, or they'd go get work, and they worked hard. Amen? It's the way it was, the same way here. Peter said, I don't need all that schooling stuff. I mean, he knew how to read and write, but it wasn't polished. And so whenever you have the difference of silence writing and Peter writing, you got a difference, don't you? And so some people will say, oh, because the Greek of 2 Peter is not as polished as 1 Peter, he didn't write it. But he tells us enough to say there's some different circumstances. He doesn't say in the end, Silas helped me write this one. And Peter wrote it down himself. So it was rough Greek. Okay? It probably wasn't perfect in his penmanship. And so that helps to differentiate 1 and 2 Peter. Not only were the circumstances outside different, I mean, the church was experiencing persecution, now they're experiencing false teachers. Peter himself was different, right? Not Peter himself, but the writing was different. Silas wrote 1 Peter, Peter wrote 2 Peter, and it helps to show the uniqueness of both letters. And Peter told us himself that he wrote a previous letter. And so we'll stop right there. Can you believe time's already got the best of us? We'll stop right there on C. We'll continue from there next time as we get into the purpose of 2 Peter. We're going to pray. We're going to ask for God's blessing. Amen. Then we can go around and greet one another and let everyone know that they're welcome here. And then we'll worship the Lord. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for all that you have been doing. And I thank you, Lord, for all that we can learn from your word. I thank you so much, Lord God, for these small letters that Peter did write. And I ask that you'd help us to learn together, Lord, what you were telling Peter to tell us, in a sense. We ask that you'd bless the remainder of our time together. And we ask that, Lord, you'd be glorified in our midst. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.